Please be seated. Usually a sermon doesn't require an introduction, but today's a little bit different. Many of you know this, but some don't. But about 3 years ago, our own Mike Dickey was approved by the Commission on Ministry for the track to ordination in the Episcopal Church. For a variety of reasons, the idea of moving and going full-time to seminary just didn't work out for Mike and his family. So our bishop has chosen to use Mike as a guinea pig for a new program through the University of the South that involves distance learning, but also the idea of doing on-site training within a parish. And the bishop chose that Mike do his on-site training here at Holy Nativity, his home church. And that's really unheard of, but is a tribute to all of you that the bishop would want him to learn how to be a priest at such a wonderful parish. And I've told you in the past that Mike would be doing a lot of things liturgically, as you've seen him, like reading the gospel and serving at the table. And another one of those things is to preach a sermon. So Mike's very first sermon. Be gentle.
Thanks. On February 12, 1973, North Vietnam released the first of 591 POWs, mostly airmen and aviators who had been shot down in the skies over Hanoi or Haiphong during the preceding decade. I was 8 years old at the time and recall watching on live television in the days that followed as the same scene played out over and over. A gray and white C-141 transport plane would taxi across the tarmac to flags and bands and expectant family members. And moments later, a thin, smiling officer would emerge, often in a crisp new uniform that had replaced his filthy prison rags. This was the fulfillment of our nation's covenant with the men who flew into harm's way, miles behind enemy lines, and fell into the hands of our foes. We will go to any length to bring you home. Those images became more poignant for me nearly two decades later as we prepared for what seemed like an inevitable war with Iraq. I was a young F-15 pilot at the time, spending the holidays in 1990 poring over plans and mission schedules for a war that would begin only days later. As part of our preparation, we met with pararescuemen whose helicopters would launch into the dark desert on a moment's notice to rescue an airman, perhaps me, trapped behind enemy lines. We met SEAL teams that would crouch in the wadis of southern Iraq for the duration of the war and race to a crash site in dune buggies to pluck us out of our peril and bring us home. We could not save ourselves at that point. With our pop gun pistols and the awesome weapons of war we flew left as little more than a smoking hole in the ground, but our nation had a plan to save us and to bring us home. There was no sense of proportion to any of it, to the squadrons of helicopters worth millions of dollars or to the teams of chiseled warriors whose sole purpose was to risk their lives to keep a covenant between a nation and one lone pilot in his moment of peril. The message was clear and lived out by those rescuers every day. No matter the cost, we will come for you. Our gospel reminds us that we worship a God who lives by the same covenant and who also lacks any sense of proportion when it comes to the lengths he will go to rescue his children. Those who assemble our lectionary plucked this story we know as the prodigal son out of the pages of Luke's gospel and set it before us as a standalone parable. But Luke wanted you to hear this as the third of three stories with one common thread: loss, followed by rejoicing. First, he asks us to consider a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep in the open country to find one that is lost. The shepherd, upon rescuing his sheep, calls his friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me." But the neighbors may well be wondering if the shepherd has gone mad. Who leaves his entire flock in the open to save one sheep? Sometimes we miss the absurdity of this story, and therefore its import, because we live in the 21st century and have no sense of the economics of shepherding. The answer to Jesus' question, doesn't he leave the 99 sheep in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it, is absolutely not. That would be ridiculous. A sense of proportion would dictate letting the one go to preserve the 99. Then Jesus tells us of a woman who loses one of 10 coins. Again, she searches, literally burning the midnight oil until she finds it. Again, she calls her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me." What would they have made of that? Crazy, but maybe not quite as crazy as the rejoicing shepherd. Which leads us to the prodigal son, who is never called that in the parable. Now the father has two sons, and one is lost. Now the son, unlike the sheep in the coin, doesn't just get lost, he loses himself. And yet, when he turns back toward home, literally, he repents. His father, like the shepherd and the lady with the lost coin, rejoices. The first two stories tell us the lengths that God will go to find you, lengths that are absurd and completely out of proportion, to keep his covenant. God has dominion over everything and doesn't need to be thrifty when it comes to bringing his children home. In fact, maybe that's the point of Easter. Not death or ransoming for sins, but that God so loved the world, so, in the sense not of so much, but in this way. God loved the world in such a way that he gave his one and only son. Why? To bring his other children, you and me, home. God didn't send Jesus to die. He sent Jesus on a mission to rescue those who could not rescue themselves, ourselves. And like the lost son, there's nothing you have done or can do to earn that sort of love. You're worth the effort because you are, each and every one of you, God's children. And your very reason for being is to find your way back out of the desert and into relationship with a God who stands ready, like the prodigal's father, to welcome you home with a ring and a robe and a barbecue with no heed for the cost. In this season of Lent, we focus on our lives and our surroundings, and we realize that we're in the desert, or we're imprisoned by sin and loss and regret, like those POWs were imprisoned over four decades ago. In this time of preparation, we need to remember that, again like the POWs, and the lost son, an Easter day awaits when we will shed the rags of our exile, find a robe and a ring, or, if you'd prefer, a crisp new uniform to remind us of who we are and of what lengths our God will go to bring us home. Amen.